evening and welcome to the 499th episode of Travelers Radio. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, along with co-host Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee, and we are in the 12th season of Travelers Radio, the show that lets you enjoy the pleasures of travel from the comfort of your armchair.
Every week at this time, we talk to people representing destinations, hotels, airlines, railroads, car rental companies, and others in the world of travel and hospitality, from authors and bloggers to broadcasters and publicists. If it's got anything to do with travel, it's got everything to do with Travelitch Radio.
And tonight, we proudly present Gino DeCaro of the Wine Institute. Welcome, Gino, to Travelitch Radio.
Thank you so much, Dan and Mary Ellen. Really happy to be here. Appreciate the invite tonight, and happy to be here with your listeners.
Okay, well, we always like to talk wine and food, and it's wine tonight. Although I love wine, especially Beringer's White Zinfandel, I had never heard of the Wine Institute before I met you at International Media Marketplace at the Javits Center in New York. So please enlighten our listeners. Is the main mission of the Wine Institute to educate the public about the California wine industry?
Good question, Dan. Wine Institute is the only U.S. organization to represent California wines at the state, federal, and international level in terms of advocacy on policies that help them grow. But we also have a very, very substantial program and department that is consumer-facing called California Wines that is built to educate consumers on sustainability practices, innovation, certainly the wines themselves and the many wine regions in California.
California has an international reputation as a wine producer. Is it a combination of the climate with its long growing season plus proximity to the Pacific Ocean?
Yeah, great question, Dan. You know, most of your listeners probably know that California's climate is pretty darn excellent for growing grapes and producing wine. Basically, you know, California's wine has been 100 million years in the making with those two tectonic plates that first started merging to form the valleys and the mountains here in California. What some people don't know is those merges created these gaps in the mountains that allowed for the warm valley air to draw in that cool ocean breeze and fog that just created great and long ripening seasons and just made for one of the best wine grape growing climates in the world.
Now, we often hear about Sonoma and Napa Valley, but aren't there a half dozen different wine producing regions in California?
Yeah, there are. There are about a half dozen. There is the North Coast, the far north, Inland Valley, Sierra Foothills, Central Coast, and Southern California. So we always like to establish, especially with travel audiences, that it's not just about Napa and Sonoma and California for visiting wineries and great wine producers. You can be anywhere up and down the state and get to one of your favorite wine producers. There's 147, I think it might even be 148 designated American viticulture areas in California now, and 49 of our 58 counties in California are wine producing. So there's basically wine everywhere, and there's a reason that we produce 81% of the country's wine production.
Now, this is a timely show for us because Earth Day is coming up on April 22nd, and this is the 12th anniversary of California Wine's Down to Earth Month. Can you tell us what that involves?
Absolutely. And first of all, I'd like to congratulate you two on your 12th year yourselves with your radio show.
Yay!
So we're all in the same boat here, but we are obviously quite proud of the sustainability efforts that have been made. The innovation that has been created over the last two decades in California. Sustainability is not new to this industry, and California Down to Earth Month gives more than dozens of wineries the chance to basically show off their sustainability chops with tours and particular tastings and pairings and festivals, and it's really a month that has grown over time into something that allows consumers to do a couple things. Get a little more educated because sometimes sustainability stuff can be nuanced and really have a sustainable experience, taste a sustainable wine, and show all their friends and family that they're doing the right thing and enjoying a beautiful California wine.
We're talking tonight with Gino DiCaro of the Wine Institute.
Gino, California is a world leader in sustainable wine growing. Exactly what does that mean besides protecting the environment?
Yeah, good question, and it's a question that a lot of people ask us these days. I mean, sustainable wine growing certainly can include biodynamic, organic, and regenerative farming practices. It's about growing and crafting quality grapes and wines while protecting the environment. But not only protecting the environment, we always talk about the three E's. There's the environment, there's social equity, and there's economic viability. These wineries, to get their certifications, have to prove a certain amount of processes and things that they're implementing in their organizations, whether it's at the environmental level on, you know, being less carbon intense or water management systems, biochar, regenerative farming, but also keeping their employees or working on the diversity of their employees, making sure their employees have the chance to get out and get paid while they're doing volunteer work in the community. And then also the economic viability piece is huge because these wineries have to invest substantial amounts of capital and resource to implement some of these sustainable practices. And that can be difficult. And they need to produce wines that are affordable. Of course, there's wines at all different cost points coming out of California. But to become a highly sustainable and certified winery, a lot of times, you know, there's a lot of investment involved, and there's a dance they need to do to produce and produce a wine that's affordable for consumers.
Is it true, Gino, that almost 180 different wineries are included in the list of certified California sustainable wineries? And what percentage of California wine does that cover? How many cases?
That is absolutely true, and it is approximately 80% of the 80% of the wine that's getting produced is certified sustainable. And I actually don't have the case number in front of me. I thought I did, but I don't. I might find that before the interview is over, though, Dan.
So, how can listeners learn of the various sustainable winery activities, including wine and food tastings, vineyard tours, and Earth Day hikes and events?
Excellent. And before I get to that, I did find the cases. It's 255 million cases, so I apologize.
Wow.
For that. I should have been more prepared for one, Dan. But for listeners, I'm glad you asked. Your listeners can go to discovercaliforniawines.com. I'll say that one more time, discovercaliforniawines.com, to get a listing of all the events. They can search by region. They can certainly search by winery. It's all listed there, and there will be links to get to where you need to go to if you need to buy a passport to go to one of the festivals or purchase one of the eco hikes or tours. It'll all give you exactly what you need to find your location, find your favorite spot, and purchase what you need to buy.
Now, we also hear, Gino, that the number of certified sustainable wineries in California is growing very rapidly, something like 40% in the last 6 years. And hasn't the number of certified sustainable vineyards grown at more than three times that rate?
Yes, it really has. It's grown by about 118%. And I think that's just a testament to the two decades of work that have gone into a lot of these practices. It's not something, like I said earlier, that wineries just started saying, well, we'll go be sustainable and get certified. There was a lot of upfront work that was involved, and Wine Institute and the California Sustainable Wine Growing Alliance created the certification program back in 2010, and it allowed wineries to go through a pretty rigorous qualification system to get certified. And we're just ecstatic that the certifications are increasing so exponentially, and the consumers are starting to be aware of the certification themselves that's on the wine, and really starting to look for it to say that they're drinking these wines.
We're talking tonight with Gino DiCaro of the Wine Institute. And now you just mentioned this. Why is sustainable wine important to consumers, and how can they find it? Is there a logo on the bottles in the retail stores or something else?
Yeah, well, certainly buying sustainable wines is important for a growing number of consumers. We've seen that surveyed, and we've seen it anecdotally. But they're, of course, not always sure how to spot them. And so a growing number of bottles in retail stores will reveal this certified California sustainable logo. It's a little blue circle with a glass of wine and a little bundle of grapes in the bottom, and you'll see it on the back of the labels. Now, I will say many wineries who are certified still don't quite have the logo on them yet, but they'll see it on their website, and you can also go to, again, discovercaliforniawines.com and click the sustainability link, and you can get to a list of every single winery and wine itself that's actually certified. And lastly, on that point, if wineries want to talk about what they're doing in the sustainability space, so give the winery a call. They'll be happy to tell you what they're doing and if they're actually certified. And there are some other certifications outside of this one, like organic and some others that they can find as well.
That's good.
Do you know, speaking of labels, I know Jewish listeners had to look for special kosher for Passover labels on wine they purchased for the holiday. Does Manischewitz, for example, have its own winery, and are there other strictly kosher wineries?
Yeah, Dan, I don't know about Manischewitz, but I do know there's a Herzog Wine Cellars in California that I know brings a lot of grapes from Lodi, and brings them down to Oxnard to have them ferment and put into production. And certainly they have their Royal Observant employees do what is absolutely necessary to make sure these are, in fact, kosher wines. I will say that's the extent of my knowledge, and I think that's a great idea for another interview for you guys. We might even be able to help get this winery on the radio with you to talk about the things that they're doing and the prevalence of kosher wines in California.
Nice.
Sounds good. There's so much happening in California wine country this month, Gino. Talk about some of the festival's special events and wine tastings, please.
Thank you. Yeah, again, these events and tastings and are just literally everywhere in California. We've got guided hikes and sustainable vineyards with particular wine tastings. We've got Earth Month tours and tastings. Most of those will be on electric buses through the vineyards. Passport weekends where you buy a passport for about $25 or so, and you get access to 25 to 40 different wineries in the region. We've got Earth Month festivals that are really featuring sustainable wines. Again, all on the website. We are getting close to halfway through the month. There's still a lot of events left. I think I might be going to one on April 15th this weekend up in Lake County with my wife.
Let's give listeners some of the upcoming festival dates that remain in April. I know there are a few that actually fall on Earth Day, April 22nd, but I also know the California Wine Festival at Dana Point is scheduled for this weekend, and the OC Spring Wine Fest in Costa Mesa is next weekend, and the Gargagisti, I guess, Wine Festival, and the Stag's Leap District Vineyard to Winter Festival is the final weekend of the month. Boy, that was a tongue twister.
I have to interrupt, Dan. I had to look up how to pronounce Garagiste before this interview, so I was ready for it if I needed to say it.
Garagiste.
Okay, we know it now.
Me too.
Okay, Mary Ellen?
Actually, I'm intrigued by what you said about the electric bus estate tours of Ponte Winery in Temecula. I love Temecula, and I understand they're going on all month. So even the transportation is sustainable. Please tell us.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the most prevalent things any consumer will see going to these wineries, that the carbon intensity is way, way down. They start with their vehicles that are moving through the vineyards, not just their buses taking the consumers through the vineyard, but their actual production equipment itself. So many are going to solar, and it's really nice if you go to these wineries and you take their tours, especially this time of year. A lot of times, their winemaker is out there talking to you, It's not harvest time, so they've got a little time on their hands, and they'll be taking you through all the things they're doing to become either carbon neutral or less carbon intense. Sometimes it's even producing lightweighted bottles. All sorts of things are going on there, and it's really the thing a consumer can see the quickest and first. So I think a lot of wineries are doing a lot to highlight that, especially with their electric buses.
Mm.
And in fact, well, go on.
No, please go on.
I just was going to say that Ponte Winery in Temecula, we have heard a lot about at Wine Institute and California Wines over the past month. They're certainly making some beautifully profiled wines, and their tour we've gotten a few comments back from consumers about how good that tour is.
Oh, I'll bet. I'm just such a big fan of the Temecula wineries. So I tell everybody, you've got to try Temecula. It's not just Napa anymore, you know?
That's absolutely right. I'm glad you said that, Mary Ellen. And I, you know, we're at the event I met Dan at in New York, I was sitting next to the Temecula Visitors Bureau. And their wine community has just been exploding over the last few years, and they're just doing some great things. So I would encourage, most people don't associate Temecula with wine. I think that's going to change really soon because of the great things they're doing. So I hope some of your listeners will take that to heart and find their way to a great Temecula and sustainable winery.
Oh, absolutely. And they've got a couple of women-owned wineries there, too. So stand up and represent.
That's right. Well said. Well said.
Well, we're talking tonight with Gino DeCaro of the Wine Institute. And, Gino, because April is actually a shoulder month for tourism, you mentioned having the winemakers available, but are prices lower for hotels, restaurants, and plane tickets? And,
yes,
you know,
absolutely.
As you said, you know, there's a better opportunity to come face-to-face with these winemakers themselves.
Yes, absolutely. You know, especially with getting through the pandemic, people want to get out and visit these places, which probably doesn't make the prices as low as they might be, but they're definitely lower this time of year. And like I said, these winemakers and winery employees are available to talk about the great things going on in their facilities. So it's just without the harvest, coming out of the pandemic, a great year for wine production, a great month for sustainability. It's a great time to go to these things, get educated, taste great wine, and be seen doing it, and tell all your friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
Are there special tours and tastings for California wines down to Earth Month?
We've talked about the Ponte Winery in Temecula. There is a particular sustainable tour and tasting of the vineyard at Captain Vineyards in Moraga. Oh, and by the way, at Ponte, I think they're doing a specific tasting of a barrel tasting of some young wines and some signature wines. Often, a lot of these wineries will be doing that. These wines that you wouldn't be otherwise able to taste on any other month. So that's a really, really positive thing for your listeners and travelers. There's also a tour of cake bread cellars in Napa Valley, which is one of our most recent green medal winners for the business component that I talked earlier about in sustainability. We're really excited about that. There's an eco tour and a specific tasting experience at Honig Vineyard and Winery in Napa. Honig is doing a lot of things in sustainability space. In fact, they're doing one of my favorite initiatives, which is they're quote going topless, which means they're not putting the tin. People think it's aluminum foil, but they're tin caps on top of the wine because those are they can be a little wasteful. So that's a kind of an interesting initiative they're taking on among many other really, really substantial ones. So Honig's a good one to get to, and actually I like to call Honig a great Instagrammable place to be. Just a great spot to take pictures and tell your family and friends you've been there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a baseball fan, I'm aware that the late, great Hall of Fame pitcher Tom Seaver had his own winery. Are other celebrities also involved in the California wine industry?
Yes, and I'm a baseball fan too, so I really appreciate that question. Dan, if you remember, Chris Iannetta and Vernon Wells I remember them with the Angels, but I think they were with a bunch of teams. Iannetta was a catcher, and Vernon Wells was a center fielder. They both have started a winery called Jack Wines, and I think they partnered with a popular winemaker in Napa, Grant Long. So that was kind of interesting. And of course, we all know about Francis Ford Coppola and his vineyard and winery, and John Lasseter, and also John Legend partnered with Raymond, owned by Jean-Charles Bosset. Partnered with him to form a LVE wine collection, which is getting some momentum as well. So lots of celebrity around wine, and they're all making some really substantial wines. And, of course, we've all heard about Dwayne Wade creating his wines these days too.
Okay, we'd like to hear about Passport Weekends, where visitors can sample the wares of multiple wineries in one stop.
Yeah, these are some of my favorite. And I might get up to El Dorado coming up on the 22nd and 23rd. Basically, you're going to, like I said earlier, you're going to pay about $25 to $40 for a weekend passport. You can visit, depending on the region, location, you can visit 20 to 40 different wineries of your choice free. There's a great one up in El Dorado Passport, in El Dorado that's called Passport to the Great Out There. There's a Wines of the Santa Cruz Mountains on April 30th, and they have a big grand tasting with all their wineries there. There's a Spring Wine Weekend in Calaveras Wine Country. Really great discounts. And, you know, a lot of your listeners will want to get to a region and try a bunch of different wines, and this is a great way to do it at a really inexpensive cost.
You're listening to Travel Itch Radio with Dan Schlossberg and Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee. Check us out on iTunes, blogtalkradio.com, or the Travel Itch Radio Facebook page. And our guest tonight is Gino DeCaro of the Wine Institute.
Gino, if California is the fourth largest wine-producing region in the world, what are the top three? And is it also fair to say that California ranks first in sustainability, with the most comprehensive and widely adopted sustainability certification programs?
Yeah, we are, as the fourth largest, and of course when people start talking about the largest wine-producing regions, they're usually talking about countries. And number one is Italy, number two is Spain, number three is France, and then U.S. behind that, which California accounts for 81% of U.S. wine production. So it's safe to say that we are the fourth largest, and it's definitely safe to say that we are the most stringent in terms of sustainability and our certifications. There's no doubt that we aren't leading the world in that category, and that's what Down to Earth Month is all about, making sure people know that these wineries are putting a lot of investment and hard work into their sustainability and creating big, bold, beautiful wines at most of the time at a very affordable cost. So that is what Down to Earth Month is about, and we are really excited.
Does the Wine Institute provide the certification, or is that a state-run program?
Well, it's provided by the California Sustainable Wine Growing Alliance, which is associated with Wine Institute, and they provide the certificate, but the applicant must go through a very rigorous qualification program conducted by a third-party independent auditor. I think there's about, 70 or so different factors that they can qualify for, and then they'll go through the rigorous process with the auditor. But to answer your question, it's actually provided by the California Sustainable Wine Growing Alliance, which is associated with Wine Institute.
Is there anything we haven't asked that you'd like to add?
Oh, gosh, you guys have covered a lot of ground. I will say, you know, congratulations. In the sustainability umbrella, we always announce our Green Medal Award winners, and we've had 36 over the last about 10 years, and we just announced our four most recent ones. One of them I mentioned earlier, which was Cake Bread. In fact, they won the Community Award under Green Medal. I think I had that wrong earlier. Then we had Niner in the Central Coast in Paso Robles. We had Treasury in Napa and Tablas Creek in Paso, and those are some of the real feature wineries who are doing great things in the sustainability space, and congratulations to them. And I will say one more thing. Most of those wineries are putting on events during Down Earth Month as well.
Okay, I've got two quick questions before we go into our close. What about some of the awards that have been won out there in wine country? I'm sure there are many of them. And also, how about some of the most unusual wineries people can look for?
Well, the awards one I just mentioned, unfortunately, I beat you to it, but the four most recent Green Medal awardees were Cape Bread, Tablas Creek, Treasury, and Niner. And I would encourage your listeners to check out the press release on our website and see some of the things that they've done to win those awards. We've got so many wineries. I will say at the convention I was at with you, Dan, you know, we really saw that experiences are important, and I think wineries are understanding that they're important. So wineries are just – it's not about just tasting anymore. I mean, they need to show off their sustainability. They need to put on – a lot of times they're putting on, you know, health and wellness programs like yoga programs. They're doing, you know, sheep shearing events. And it's just fascinating some of the things they're doing. And, of course, a lot of the wineries are putting together some pretty famous chefs for pairing particular food with specific wines, which are really getting quite popular. You can find random everywhere you look in California wine country, and you can find great wine at everywhere you look in California wine country.
Okay. How do Travel with Radio listeners learn more about the Wine Institute? I know you mentioned the website earlier.
Yes, our website is wineinstitute.org, which is is basically the organization that, like I said, is the U.S. org that covers state, federal, and international policy advocacy, and that's at wineinstitute.org. But for Down to Earth, it's discovercaliforniawines.com.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. Our guest tonight has been Gino DeCaro of the Wine Institute. Thank you for being our guest on Travel with Radio.
Thank you, Dan and Mary Ellen. Really appreciate it. It's been wonderful.
Okay, now that the baseball season has started, there's nothing better for off days or rain delays than a good baseball book, like my latest, Baseball's Memorable Misses, an unabashed look at baseball's craziest zeros. The funniest and most unusual baseball book of the year, it's an illustrated and entertaining paperback, $14.99 at your bookstore and even less from Amazon.com. Sandy Koufax is on the cover. California kid. Such a deal. Get it tonight. And that's it for this edition of Travel It Radio. Next week, same time, same station, we'll have our hour-long 500th anniversary special featuring sports, travel, and tours, the Mount Washington Cogwheel Railway, a slice of Brooklyn bus tours, and the Phoenician, a luxurious Arizona resort. Don't miss it. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg, along with Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee, saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night and stay safe.